What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? If you want to come see the Red Rocket live, check me out the following dates. This is all I got left before I'm done for a little while. July 11, 12, 13, I'll be in Lexington, Kentucky. Come check me out at Comedy Off Broadway. Then July 18, 19, 20, I'll be in Sacramento, Sactown, baby. Home of the Kings up there, dude. Sactown at the Punchline. That is 18, 19, 20. Then the next week, the 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, I'll be at the Montreal Just for Laughs Comedy Festival. I'll be doing one live Whiskey Ginger, two other live performances of just stand-up. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all this ticket information. And then the final week, I'll be on the road, August 1, 2, 3, St. Louis. I'll be in St. Louis under the arch, baby, at Helium in St. Louis. Check me out. Go to AndrewSantino.com. Enjoy the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. Ian Edwards. Ian.
What's up, y'all? Do I look at you or them?
You can look at either one. It doesn't really matter.
All right, cool.
They don't really care. Wherever you want to look, where do you want to look?
I'll just look at you.
You look at me? Yeah.
It would be weird to be like,
so if we both look at
this. Good question. And then like looking at the camera.
It'll be like what's that show? What's that that late night show that, where they set him up, with the prompts, you know, where he's like, oh, you've been to
Byron Allen.
Yeah.
But then you perform your
answer. Out to the audience. Have you done that show?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I mean, it felt dirty sometimes, but because I did it, and then one time I did it and Dick Gregory was on this. That was good to
be on the incredible
panel with Dick Gregory.
Yeah.
But then you just, as a comic, creatively, you wrote the material, but you just feel phony delivering it that way.
Does it feel like, like what? You've done Conan how many times?
Like four times.
Okay, so every time you do late night spot, do you then also feel dirty when you do late night spots, or do you feel much better about those?
No, you're doing, I always tell myself in my head, I'm doing a set.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, I'm doing a set. This is a club set, but with maybe some different rules. But I still try to keep like the club edge to it.
Yeah.
This was just like, you're too behind the scenes, you know. This is not a real conversation. I'm faking a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything is contrived about the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels so forced. Even when someone I know is doing their best to not make it forced, it still feels so forced.
Yeah, because like you're going to answer a question by standing up and animating this whole airplane bit. It's like that just looks...
You guys ever been to Sacramento? And stands up and does
so
it.
So you went to Sacramento. And I'm not shitting on Byron Allen. I think he's a smart guy. It's just... It just feels weird.
I don't think it's his fault more than... I think, truthfully, it turned out that way. I don't think the initial intention of the show was to be that way. I think it just naturally progressed to being this thing where it's like, well, you have to give somebody a setup because I'm sure people went on the show without any material and they bombed.
Right, right.
And they learned that lesson that he was like, well, just give me the material and we'll set you up.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically... Like, Byron Allen, like, looks at the... What I do like about him, he finds... The loophole in things.
Yeah.
Like the interview show that he did with, like, for movies. Like, those are press junkets. So he gets all that footage for free and made a TV show out of it.
Yeah, that's
wild. And
that
was the start of his empire. Like so many people and have interviewed actors for shows, for movies that's coming out at press junkets for decades. And nobody's thought, if I record these... And just turn it into a TV show, I could be a billionaire. Nobody thought that shit.
No, except for him.
Yeah.
And somebody told me, people that don't know Byron Allen, he does a show. It's a late night. It's on. It's a localized show. It's not.
It's on in a lot of different.
But it's NBC. Is it NBC?
I don't know
what syndicate. I don't know what network runs it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he does a late night show. He also bought the Weather Channel.
Yeah, like when you got Weather Channel money. You know what I'm saying?
Owns the fucking weather?
Yeah.
He can tell us anything.
He can tell us anything.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, it's going to be nice forever. Global warming's fake. And we'd be like, I guess, well, he owns the Weather Channel.
Yeah.
I can't not believe that. He's got to have some strategic move over why he did that. When people are like, why would a comedian buy the Weather Channel?
Yeah, I have no idea why he did that.
Well, that's some politics or something.
He's been smart so far. So.
Yeah. So I don't doubt it. Yeah. Somebody told me he garnered a lot of his fortune from licensing deals. Like he would buy...
I don't even know what that means.
Stand-up albums.
Right.
And he would license them to places.
That makes sense. Sounds like some shit he would do.
Yeah, some smart businessman shit. Like Michael Jackson bought the Beatles, right? Yeah, and he did the licensing catalog. Contract. Yeah, yeah, it's genius.
Yeah.
That's where the real money was. Apparently he used to open for... Oh, Byron used to open for somebody huge. And a now...
Singer?
Huh?
A singer?
No, no, no. It was a comic. But mm-hmm. then he ascended way higher than that guy. And then that comic's just, you know... I don't know.
He probably used to open for a lot of people. He started doing comedy before he was drinking age.
Yeah.
His mom had to take him to the comedy store.
And you can't even do it anymore now. They don't even let you in unless you're 21.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you used to be able to do that. When did you start? How old were you when you started?
In the 20s, early 20s.
Yeah, me too. I was 22 when I started that whole thing. Yeah. But you started in New York, right?
Yeah, I started in New York.
Do you miss New York?
Like, I miss New York in the summertime.
Yeah.
The summertime is dope.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing like you just... You could just go to the city and not have shit to do, and you're like in the thick of it, and you can be entertained all day.
You can find shit to do.
You can find shit to do.
New York is the only place that I've ever felt like if you were bored there, you should just kill yourself.
Yeah, it's like me and Eric was there like last summer, and you know Eric's a little on the overweight side, but
he is.
He knows that, but like he was there for a few days, and we met up, and he's like. Man, you have to work to be fat in this city because I've done so much walking. Everybody, like if you're fat in New York City, first of all, you have to walk.
Yeah, you don't have a choice.
You, if you check your step monitor, you're going to like break your record.
Every single time.
Every single day. And then people are still overweight. Like you, he's like, you got to work hard. And I was like, yeah, because all I've been doing is just walking through this fucking city.
I find that the funny thing is they have a lot of shit. Like New York has a lot of junk food
mm-hmm.
or places to eat junk food. You know, you got like hot dog on the street, carts, pizza, mm-hmm. falafel, like all sorts of bullshit that you can grab fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I always find that like I don't eat sloppy when I'm in New York because right. you're always on the run. Right, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, so you don't have time to eat fast food.
You just don't. Yeah, you just don't have time to even eat fast food because you're like always doing some shit.
Right.
And which is funny because in a place where like LA is like overtly conscious over the food that they're putting out, and most, it's harder to get fast food in LA than almost anywhere else. I feel like they really try to corner them away from areas unless it's.
I think it's. Just as easy, but it's also just as easy to get
healthier food. Right, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's so convenient to get something nice to eat. But I feel like I have the temptation to eat shitty food here so much easier because you have so much time and I'm in my car anyway. Yeah. And in New York, it's like, I just don't even think about it. You're like, yeah, I'm not going to grab a hot dog on the move because I have something else to do or to go.
New York's a treadmill.
Yeah.
Like you walk out the house and you're on a fucking treadmill.
Right. Someone said to me, it's like... The worst part about New York though is that there's no off switch, that like
right.
in LA there's an off switch. You can not live in the
there's
city.
There's an off switch at 5 a.m. in the morning. Everything kind of shuts down
for like one fucking
for 1 hour.
And then it starts back
up
again.
What is this person talking about? Jesus.
Yeah, 1 hour is enough to
one
recoup.
1 hour is enough. That's all we need, baby.
Where did you shoot? Where'd you shoot your special? Ian has a special coming out, by the way.
Oh yeah.
It airs on the 12th on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
At what time?
At midnight, which is really the 13th.
Yeah.
But it's July 12th.
Yeah, that's how they're promoting
/ 13th.
July 12th / 13th.
Uncensored.
Uncensored. And then after it airs on Comedy Central, it'll be on the app.
Then I won't be talking to you or anybody else.
That'll be the end of it.
Too big. Yeah. I may talk
You'll
to Rogan.
You'll be so famous.
So famous.
And Bill and Burr is producing it, or tell me Burr's involvement in the whole thing.
So it's a Bill Burr's presents Ian Talk, and him and All Things Comedy, they are a podcast network of a bunch of comics, and you know they had a 3 special deal, and one of the specials, Jessica Kearson, is
super
one,
funny,
and Paul Versey is
he was the first one, right?
He was the first one, yeah.
Right, so it goes and Paul, you, her,
yeah,
great,
yeah,
that's great, and they touched all the bases,
mm-hmm.
White dude, black dude, girl,
perfect,
lesbian too,
yeah.
Damn, man, she's gonna blow up more than you are for sure.
Yeah, it's fuck. I gotta do something.
Yeah, you gotta do something. You have to. Yeah. I was gonna say if I do another special, which I don't know if I'll ever do another one, but
why not?
I didn't even like the first one that much. I don't like recording things permanently for some reason.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I love live comedy.
Do you ever do the same set?
Not really.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't
you've
think
seen
so.
Me enough.
I'm like, this guy's always. When you go on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, do you write?
Yeah, yeah, I do, but I. But when I go to the store, especially, I love to write on stage.
Right.
I'll get a chunk of premises together or get a couple of tags,
mm-hmm.
and I'll just keep I maneuver them throughout the week until I leave for the weekend and go somewhere, and then I get to do it in flush when I leave.
Oh, okay.
You know, unless I'm in the main room, then I try to really do A material as much as I can.
Right.
But I don't know. I just, for me to keep it engaging, to me, I like to change it so much.
Right.
It's
See, you would hate Comics Unleashed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, yeah. I would bomb so bad on that show.
Because every night I see you, I'm like, it's like you're just riffing through shit.
Yeah, I'm trying to get through new shit. Well, because I just feel like,
but it comes off well for you. Like people really like you, that style for you. You know what I'm saying?
I think it works for the way I present comedy, especially because I just got, I used to get so bored of telling jokes that were like tried jokes.
Right.
It just made me, it bothered me a little bit. It got me depressed, really. I would leave the club and be like, I didn't like it.
Right.
Just because something felt off about the way I presented it, where I sounded like, I felt like I sounded phony.
Right, right. Yeah.
But that was all on me.
Yeah, it'll feel, but it also drives you to do comedy the way you do it, which is different than everybody else, or whatever makes you unique.
Right. Well, it's a kind of your rhythm of the way you do comedy, which is funny because I'll say this. I should just backtrack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fan before we even met. I loved your shit. And we met on... See, there you go. And we met
See, that's when you throw the camera.
Right. Yeah. You throw one of these like...
Yeah,
see? Who's in the hot seat now?
Yeah.
We met when we did... and I've talked about this before, when we did a pilot for Comedy Central, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
For this guy named Al Scheer. And I've talked to Rogan about it.
Yeah,
Hits from the Streets. If anybody doesn't know who that is, look up Hits from the Streets on BET. He had a show for like, I don't know, maybe 7 years or something like that.
Yeah, he had it for a while.
And he was huge on that, from that show.
But this is how separated America is. He was huge on Hits from the Street, which is BET, a black network.
Yeah.
And then he gets hired to work on Punk'd.
Right.
And he's like tricking celebrities who had no idea who he was.
No idea.
Because that's how separate everything was back then.
Right. Well, he said, Al would say that a couple of black celebrities were keen to him.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But very rarely. Even still, they would be like, who is it? Who, I think I've seen this dude before, but I don't know.
But he couldn't be this cop.
Right.
He's telling me I'm arrested right
now. Right,
right,
right. They can't be the same guy. Yeah. Which is funny because I just had a conversation with Rogan about this whole thing about how like there are very, because he's fallen in love with Miss Pat recently.
Who, Rogan?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has got an amazing fucking crazy story.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's funny how like a lot of people who are comedy fans don't know there are supremely famous black comedians in the world of black comedy that white audiences have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And they may never know. They may know.
Right.
You know what I mean? But like we were having this long conversation about it because he was, in so many words, was like, I think they're bigger than you think. I was like, I think they're not. Like I think if I went around and asked a million comedy fans who D. Ray Davis is around the country, they probably wouldn't know.
Yeah, they might not know.
You know what I mean? Like they might not know.
They might not know.
But in the black community, it's like so prevalent.
Yeah.
Certain names are just, they're just embedded.
They're like, yeah.
Yeah, you know who the fuck that is. I've seen him a million times.
How dare you ask me if
I know who
that person is. Yeah.
Like there's something about that that's like, that'll never be, if there's a white comic who's famous as a comedian, they're usually known somewhat across the board, but a lot of
some black people might not know him.
That's what I mean. There's less crossover from the other way for some reason.
From white to black.
From black to white.
Yeah, probably.
Like most white audiences just know what they know from the most publicized version of comedy.
But comedy's changing. Well, nah, there's still that, but there is like the new young group of black comics, like Hannibal Buress or the. Oh, shit. Why am I blanking on the brothers, the twins?
Lucas Brothers.
The Lucas Brothers.
But there's even younger than them that's even more popularized now.
Like who? Who's younger than those dudes? But Hannibal's not exactly young. He's not old.
There's a lot. Like,
he's been around.
I mean, Comedy Central pumps out. I feel like every time I fucking open up their page, there's a new
You go on the Comedy Central page?
Everybody should, especially on the 12th.
Yeah, on the 12th, yeah.
And watch that bitch on the 12th.
I need to go on there more.
No, I do their Instagram page, I guess I should say. But Instagram, like there's a kid named Jabuki Young White that people love.
I know Jabuki.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. That generation of very young, that is a Jack Knight's very young.
Jack Knight's young.
So there's that class of young black comedians who I think are more popularized to both audiences.
Right.
Even though, you know, there's a lot of people.
I think they're popularized probably to not even a black audience, but, you know, how do you describe this generation? It's like the youngest millennials, if they are even millennials, that like kind of mix a lot with each other racially.
Right. It's kind of it's kind of this homogenous group of like culture and class.
Hipster,
and,
like the descendants of hipsters and shit like
that. Right. The descendants of hipsters. Right. That will be that new class is.
Yeah, whatever they're gonna be. Yeah. Right. Because hipsterism is kind of, nobody's saying it. I guess it's kind of, it's not young anymore.
No.
It's the, so whatever's after that, it's them. You know what I mean?
Whatever this new age, which is
whatever hipsters fuck themselves into.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they are. That's what they are. Yeah.
Which is funny because the irony of that generation is like they hate classes and they hate labeling. You know, they want everyone to kind of have this like universal,
right,
you know, this universal peace and truth, and we're all kind of living free. And yet,
which you sound like you hate.
Yeah, I hate. You know, I fucking hate. But all they do is label shit. So they don't like. It's funny to say like there's more and more groups created now than ever.
It's hypocritical.
It's so hypocritical.
Yeah.
But like,
I see what they're trying to do. But,
sure.
But everybody's still pretentious.
Yes.
Everybody's like, nah, this is cool. But yeah, there's some pretension to it for sure.
There's so much to me. Yeah. Like if when you say I'm that gender, you know, when my gender is ambiguous, or I'm, you know, like I don't assign to all these old labels, and yet they just create new labels and new names.
Well, that's a label.
That's what's so fucking funny.
I don't have a label is a label.
Right. It's the same
that's
way.
That's your label.
Yeah, you're labelless. Yeah, yeah. That's your label. You're in this new group now.
Yeah.
Which I think is, I get it. I get why youth does that, but they're fighting this weird war sometimes. Like, I also think, like, it's what incites a lot of bullshit to happen and people to hate each other for no fucking reason. Like, this Antifa shit that happened.
Antifa?
Yeah, you know the shit? And they beat up this dude, Andy Ngo, or whatever his name is.
What happened?
I don't know. He's a gay right-wing journalist.
Mm-hmm.
And this went to one of these Antifa rallies. And he threw a milkshake at his face, and they punched him
really
and shit.
Ignorant. What's an Antifa rally? Because I've definitely cut off the news on purpose.
Really? So you're totally out of all this bullshit?
Yeah, yeah. Because you're telling me a narrative of the world.
Yeah.
And that's not a true narrative of the world. So I don't want your narrative any longer.
Right.
I want to have a good ass day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah, you don't want to hear the bullshit anymore.
So I cut all the bullshit out, and I miss out on some things. And it's good, you know, but also bad because I could have some, I'm looking for newer material now, so I might have to turn the news back on.
You have to.
But, you know.
Look, I look at it like this.
But that's my excuse.
Antifa means anti-fascism. So it's like, it's a group of kind of, they look like militarized liberals. It's a very, it's very odd.
Tougher liberals.
Yeah, they just like, they fist fight people.
Yeah.
Like, they're down to fight.
Because they're like, we're not like these pussy liberals.
Yeah, we'll swing.
Gangsta liberals.
Yeah, we'll swing.
Yeah.
Interesting to watch. But that's, my perspective is more like, I just love watching it because I'm fascinated by these people that like, really want to get up, get out and do something. Because I'm not like that.
Yeah, I admire those people.
Yeah, because from 10,000 feet, I just kind of like watching it all go down.
I said, go ahead, march, man.
Right, get to go sit by my pool and hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
So life is kind of good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't mind watching it because I'm like, I'm still okay. I don't really involve
myself
in it.
I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, sure, go
for
it.
If they're trying to do something good, I'm rooting
for
it.
Do your thing, go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you should kick people in the fucking face and throw milkshakes at them, but you know.
No.
Shit happens, yeah. I guess.
I protest at night through my material on stage.
Hey, that's right.
Where people are kind of, they have to, for the most part, accept what I'm saying, even if it's counter to their ideology.
Intuitive to their ideology, yeah. Well, I've had people come up to me and say, and you do this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we do have in common.
Yeah.
You will often, and I will often, take a stance or an approach on a subject
mm-hmm.
where you're very well aware that a good portion of that audience may be perturbed by it, or they may be like, no, I don't like that.
Right.
But you know that your spin is good enough,
mm-hmm.
it's still going to land.
Yeah.
You do that a lot. I try to do that as much as I can. There's a handful of comics who really go out of their way to be like, this is why this thing is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I know why people feel certain ways,
right.
But it's also some things. Like, did Comedy Central, did you remove any jokes from being in the special that they were worried about?
No, not really.
They were good like that.
Yeah, they were good like that.
Because sometimes they made me remove something when I did a half hour with them years ago, and I was mad. I was like, I should have been able to leave that fucking joke. Right. But I think they're probably becoming more conscious of like, you have to let people say whatever the fuck they're going to say.
Right.
You're going to get in a weird place if we start editing
comedy. And I think Burr's involved. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's funny. I'll just put in a call.
Yeah.
You know, say, hey, man, they want to take this joke out. There was one joke we took out, but it's because I did it on another Comedy Central show when I did like an 11-minute set.
What so was it, like a pant?
On New Negroes.
Oh, the New Negroes. Yeah. Oh, right.
So they say, hey, you just did that. And I actually wore the same fucking outfit.
Shut up.
I didn't know.
From your special?
From the special.
New Negroes?
I wore it on New Negroes first. And then the special was shot. New Negroes was shot like in April. And then the special came up. And you're just trying to get the special together.
Right.
And then they're like, hey, man, the special's tomorrow. What you going to wear? And I was like, I got this outfit. And you forget when you've wore. And then when New Negroes came out like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, that's the same
shit
outfit.
Was it a shirt and a jacket or something?
It's just like a sweater with holes, holes in it.
Fancy hole sweater.
It's a ripped sweater. I don't wear ripped jeans. I wear ripped sweaters.
My top can be ripped, ruined. My bottom has to stay right.
The bottom has to be intact. You're not seeing any leg. No thigh.
That's so funny why, like, I have a expensive ripped sweater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's so silly, but yes. I really like it.
I got two of them. One apparently is on two TV shows, and the other one I've never worn.
One's neglected when it should have been used. Yeah. So when you, that is another, that's one thing I do want to say to people and fans that, like, I think people think like you show up to a thing and it's like they probably give you like fancy clothes and fancy shoes, and they don't, it's like people don't realize TV most of the time you show the fuck up in what you're wearing,
right,
and they're like, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Unless you have labels everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, we have to get you out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But for the most part, like, Hollywood does a thing to you, like, here's another good example, and you know this very well. Mm-hmm. Like, when you do Conan, mm-hmm. I'm saying when you do a TV set,
yeah,
when it's over mm-hmm. and you're leaving, you're just like a human again. You feel so like,
yeah,
I'm just going to head home.
Because like, you had a green room.
Right.
You had people asking you if you needed anything. There's
right.
a massage chair. It's a whole kind of like a nice party for the four guests that are on the show.
Right. You feel a little special.
And then you get off the lot and you're like, oh, well.
I'm just going to drive back to my fucking house, I guess.
Go back to my apartment and shit.
Like, did you drive yourself when you do Conan? Or do you have to send a car?
I think I drive.
See, I always have driven to anything I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because it does take me back down to earth real fucking. When you get back in your car and you're leaving the lot, especially when a lot like asks for your pass back, then I'm just like, God damn. Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
You have to snatch it, bro.
Yeah, man. Come on, man. He's like, yes, I did. And don't come back today.
Yeah.
There's something about that. There's something about that. The business will humble you so fast. And it does in greater scales. But that's a very small, intricate window of like, like when you're done shooting your special.
Mm-hmm.
What did you feel like the moment you were done shooting?
Just relief.
Yeah, like you were.
Because it's been like overdue and we complicated it with the TED Talk aspect of it. And then
you have to explain that for people that don't know.
So, like, basically, I'm somebody that would never be given a TED Talk, right?
Yes.
And I wanted my special to have another layer to it. So, you know, it'd be more intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I bring up topics and I kind of flip them on their head.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of, the material is perfectly set up for a TED Talk. Like, you know, you click the screen and there's a topic. You know, it's like hoes. And then they would never talk about that on a TED Talk seriously, but I will.
Yeah.
On my special. And we talk about hoes. And we move on to abortion. And then we just keep going.
And you keep doing so you're flipping through tabs.
Talk about drugs.
Yeah. Like it's a TED Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking wonderful. Yeah. Was that your idea?
Uh-huh.
When you presented that, was that the way you presented the special to Bill? You were like, look, here's what
I
want to do.
This is fucking great.
That's
got
perfect.
It right away. Yeah, yeah.
That's fucking wonderful, man. Yeah. So go ahead. So go back. When you were saying you did it so differently, so it presented itself as like relief the moment you were done because you had been building up this catalog of.
Well, I had the material and I've been, when you go to the comedy club to run it, you're just running it. Then we had to have some test run throughs. So where we actually had the screen and it, so then you have to like figure out how many visuals you have for which jokes. And then once you, what order, then you have to remember the order. This is like, you're adding shit to something that's going to be taped in two weeks that you haven't rehearsed. And I'm doing the clicking. Who's going to click? Is it going to be somebody?
No way.
Or is it going to be me? It's got to be me.
It's got to be you.
And then, so now I'm performing. Now I'm not going to have a mic. I perform my whole life with a mic.
Is it one of these things? Lapel mic.
It's a lapel.
Oh, wow.
So then you're just doing all these things you're not used to. And I didn't want to fuck up the order and not click it when I'm supposed to. And then sometimes when you rehearse it, like in the club, the few times we did, if the clicker didn't work, or if it was on a timer. So if you went too far ahead, you couldn't go back. You'd have to stop the whole taping.
Oh, shit.
So then I just had to, like, get it perfect.
Right.
So the stress that I put on myself, and I didn't have to, of just wanting it to flow all the way through, like, caused a relief when it was done.
Right. It was just a big weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, we didn't fuck it up. It's over. Wow. Let's go party. Yeah.
Now, you did, where'd you shoot it at?
At the Beverly O'Neill Theater in Long Beach.
Oh, okay, nice. Why? Yeah. Was there a reason for it?
Because we started looking for places that would look like they would have a TED Talk.
Sure.
And TED Talks have been shot there. And
okay.
I was going to do it by myself. Like, Aristotle was going to be the director.
Mm-hmm.
And me and him started looking for locations. And then Bill and my agent at the time hit me up and said, hey, Bill wants you to be a part of the three specials. So then now we had a bigger budget. And then we started looking into, like, real places that would really fit
the vibe of it.
And
that's
great. We really captured the vibe of it.
Yeah, man. I've seen some snippets online. Yeah. Like, they put up some previews of it.
The trailer, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks great, man. It looks like a goddamn TED Talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it looks like identical
to
a TED Talk.
Like me with a holy sweater on doing a goddamn TED Talk talking about hoes.
I'm talking about hoes. But that's the real TED Talks, right? Yeah. Those are the ones that people want to see.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones about,
it's the most interesting non-TED Talk you've ever seen in your life.
Now, did you have somebody open the show? Because that's such a different format. Did someone come out cold and do something? Or
Brody, but he's dead.
Brody did it. Yeah, dead. Yeah. He did it dead, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. Son of a bitch. Yeah. Where are you, Brody? Why the fuck are you not around to do shit like that?
You're supposed to be around to see this shit, son.
He would have loved that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a fun day, too. He was there, and then we also put him in the... There's, like, you know, when TED Talks start, there's these images with people, different speakers.
Right.
So that day we shot, like, Fahim was one of those people.
Right.
Fucking stupid Lenoci was one of those people.
I like how stupid is always the adjective for some reason. Stupid Lenoci.
Yeah. It's his first name.
Stupid. That is his first name. Stupid Lenoci.
Stupid Lenoci. And it's funny. Then we had Jesus go up so that they could just shoot these people. And all you have to do is, like, pretend you're talking. And Jesus wasn't even talking and couldn't talk. He's like, I said, you got nervous shooting something that you're not even supposed to be talking in? What the fuck? We clowned his ass. So we just had fun.
Yeah, it was just fucking
around.
And
then Brody was one of them, and then some of the PA people, and it was just fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you do, you did a live audience of billed as comedy fans, or did you tell them it was going to be kind of like a TED Talk?
No, we didn't tell them.
You didn't tell them shit? Up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's even cooler.
Because it's still a set, you know?
Right,
a set, but we just... That element, nobody knew about it until, like Doc, you know Doc Willis?
Yeah, I love Doc.
He said when he got there, he's like, what the fuck is going on? Why is that? Because there's a TED thing. I don't want to even give that
part. Yeah, don't give it all away.
But yeah, you'll see. Check it out.
Doc, by the way, he's talking about, Doc was a guy who used to work at the Comedy Store. He made me laugh all the time. Mm-hmm. He's a very short man, but has a voice of James Earl Jones. Yeah, I mean, he's like, every time I'd see him, he's like, oh, what's up, Santino? It's like the deepest voice of all time.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's just like very, it's like real guttural. Like, oh, yeah, hey, man. Like, if you just heard his voice from around the corner, you'd be like, who's this big ass dude?
You'd think he's way bigger.
Yeah, dude, then you see him. Yeah. He's compact. That's like probably the PC word. He's a compact human being.
It's a compact human
being. Compact man, he wouldn't like to fucking hear this.
Oh man, I heard you say compact. Fuck that shit, man. I'm normal size.
You know what? It's so funny whenever you say someone's short or tiny or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're like, oh, well, you know, like people do to me all the time. Often lately, for some reason, people keep going, man, you're taller than I thought. And I'm always like, why did you think I was short? Like they see you on camera and I think they have this idea of how big we are compared to one another. But lately, a lot of people have been like, God, I thought you were a lot shorter than.
Because most people on film are shorter when you see them in real person.
Sure,
but here's the one I can't understand. I just performed in a comedy club on stage. You were there live.
Yeah.
And later on in the lobby, hallway, they're like, man, you look taller on stage. I'm like, are you out of your fucking mind? How dare you tell? What, I was on stage in front of you. You could see my height even though I'm on something that's a level that's higher than you. Like you thought I walked in with clogged stage with a clogged stage on my foot. Like I don't know if they're trying to be funny.
Oh, I hate when they're trying to be funny.
Yeah,
sometimes they are though. After shows, when people are trying to be funny, it's like just be genuine. That's all comics want.
Nice, that's
just
nice.
Be genuine. Yeah. Like if you're if you're like, hey man,
you don't have to be funny back.
No, just hey man, I'm a fan, or like I like this, or hey my mom. I had somebody told me, oh my God, somebody in San Diego had come up to me and been like, I came here because my dad is a fan. And I was that's dope.
Oh, that's dope.
And he was like, yeah, my dad's out of town. But he was like, you got to come. Like, that's a cool, it's like a nice, fun moment to share. Yeah. But when someone comes up to you drunk and they do this whole fucking game and you're like, dude, I just worked for you. I just worked. I just did an hour of work for you.
Here's the crazy thing. When, like, I still don't really drink, but I drink once in a while.
Yeah, you pretty rarely. I don't really see you drink that much.
But, you know, when I didn't drink at all.
Yeah.
And people were like, after the show, like, what do you... Can I buy you a drink? I said, nah, I don't drink. You don't drink? What do you do for fun, motherfucker? The reason why you want to buy me a drink is because I made you laugh for an hour. How are you accusing me of not being fun now because I don't drink? That makes no sense to me.
Some of those people, that's the only way they have fun, though, right? Yeah. Like, you're talking about a big part of the country.
But you can't ask somebody who made you laugh so much.
What do they do for fun?
What do they do for fun?
Right.
Motherfucker, we just did it.
We did fun. Yeah, I did so much fun for you.
Yeah, you wanna spend money on a drink.
Well, D'Elia hears it all the time. Mm-hmm. And you know, like...
Yeah, he don't drink. Yeah.
He doesn't drink. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I have more people on this show, Whiskey Ginger, where usually we have a drink. I have more people on this show that don't drink than do now, which is funny to me.
Is this real water or prop water?
We'll find out.
Okay, sure, you're right.
Yeah, man.
Prop water.
Yeah, good. Go fishing first. Yeah. But like D'Elia, Bobby, there's guys that are either sober or never drank. Bobby's sober. So people always ask. Mm-hmm. Chris used to be, I think he doesn't get it as much anymore because he's kind of...
People know.
The ascension is so obvious now. It's so big. He's way up there. Mm-hmm. But I remember being at after shows with him, people were like, yo, Chris, you buy a drink? And he's like, I'm good, man. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you don't want one? He's like, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And he would always say like, I'm good or whatever, or thank you, no thank you. Until finally he had to be like, I don't drink.
Right.
I don't drink. Yeah. And people do that same thing where they go, why not? He's like, I don't want to. And they're like, were you sober? What's your thing?
Listen,
then?
I'm not blaming you because you do drink.
Right.
So there's people who don't drink. Like you've been in this world.
Right. You've been around long enough.
There's people who don't drink. So why are you surprised when you meet one? Everybody doesn't drink. Everybody doesn't swim. Everybody doesn't like boxing. Everybody doesn't like.
Right.
I'm not going to be like, you don't like soccer? Right, what the fuck do you like?
Well, because you're huge into soccer.
Yeah.
And when you meet people that do like soccer,
I'm excited.
You're excited.
And if I meet someone that doesn't, I get it.
Right, you go, fine, sure.
Yeah.
You also don't like a lot of other fucking things.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same way for me.
Because that's the way the world works.
Yeah.
So why is everybody surprised?
blown away.
When the world works.
Yeah.
The way it works.
How do you do that? How do you not? Yeah, like, you know.
You don't blink?
Well, you were the first person, I've said this before, you were the first person I ever tried vegetarian. I mean, was it vegan? No.
Might have been vegan.
It was vegan.
Was it Veggie Grill?
I think that's what we had, Veggie Grill.
From the
Is that's vegan or vegetarian?
It's vegan, yeah.
It is vegan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when we were working together, I had never had a vegan meal. Obviously, I'd eaten vegetarian dishes.
Right.
You know, I had to go into like... Thai food places got vegetarian shit, but I never had a vegan meal. So we had vegan for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I remember like, you were like, I kept being like, I don't like this shit. Like, I know I'm not going to like this shit. And you're like, how do you know if you've never fucking had it? And I was like, I just know I'm not going to like this shit. And then I ate it. And sure enough, I fucking liked that shit.
Because Veggie Grill is good.
It was really fucking good. Veggie Grill is good. But I could tell they put a lot of, you know, there's probably a lot of sugars and salts.
Salt,
the good stuff to make
it. They spice it up. They make sure you like it.
Yeah, they do. They make sure that people that don't have any interest in becoming vegan will still eat the food.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of their goal.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you know, one day I'll do Indian, one day I'll do Thai, one day I'll do Veggie Grill.
Right.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the balance.
Yeah.
So we've said this before. We've had this conversation, but never on air. But like, you've been vegan for how long?
I forgot, but it's definitely over 10 years.
Easily. But you used to eat meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the conscious decision was, it wasn't because you watched a documentary. Now it's like, hey, a few people are like, I saw that thing and I stopped.
It was before the documentary.
Yeah, you were before that game.
Yeah, yeah. I was getting hazed for not eating meat. You know, I'm one of the old school.
You're the OG vegan.
I'm the OG vegan.
Wait, what was the impetus to quit?
So when I was in LA for a minute and I just wanted to be healthier, so then I just cut my diet down to chicken and fish.
Yeah.
And that was getting monotonous.
Right.
And then my friend, Tangerine, She just turned vegan.
That's one of the most beautiful names. Tangerine is tangerine. So dope. What a name. That's Tangerine. That's a
LA hood name.
Yeah, Tangerine. Yeah, but it sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a friend named Grapefruit. Nice dude. Very nice, nice dude. Yeah. Nice
I think
dude.
I met him.
Yeah, you know that dude.
Yeah, he's cool. It's
but
cool.
Tangerine convinced you to do it, huh?
Yeah, she had this. We went to eat at Chin Chin's. And then.
Which, by the way, sounds like a racist. I don't know why it sounds racist because it's a Chinese food place.
They named it.
That they did it. I don't know why. Do every time up. I go, I'm like, Chin Chin just sounds like. It sounds like Ching Chong when I go into that motherfucker. I'm like, I could have made it anything else. Yeah. Be, if it was Yang, Yin Yang would have been more.
I mean, they wanted to let you know this is Chinese food. Come get it. You know what I'm saying? No questions. Chin Chin.
Well, that's like in New York. All those places are just called Chinese food.
Yeah.
You know, there's restaurants they're just called Chinese food. And you're like, what is this? I guess Chinese food on. 43rd.
Very creative.
Yeah, Chinese food. Yeah. So Tangerine took you to Chin Chin.
But she wasn't eating meat. She ordered something that was meatless. And then she had this book and it had like pictures of stool and shit that comes out of meat eater stool.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, whatever. You know?
Yeah.
And I ate my meat and shit. But then when I went home later on and I was cooking like some turkey sausages and shit, like I started like, it started frying and bubbling up. I started like seeing the worms that were in the pictures. But also, here's the main reason. When I was a kid, I used to love KFC. Like, it was a treat that we'd have like once a month on a Friday. Now, that's when KFC was good. I don't know when you grew up. When KFC was like, it's just banging.
When I was a kid, it was Popeyes. In Chicago, it was Popeyes. Popeyes was like, KFC was around, but I think Popeyes was way bigger for some reason.
You know what? Before I stopped eating meat, and I used to eat Popeyes, it was way better than KFC.
It was. When I was a kid, it was amazing. It was a good. That was a treat for us too. I was like, damn, Popeyes.
It's like
fried chicken, like
Friday night, fucking KFC.
Yeah.
And I was like, I vowed that when I grew up and I was an adult, I'm going to eat this shit whenever the fuck I want.
When I get enough money, I'm going to have KFC every day of the fucking week if I feel like
my
it.
My name is Montoya Santona from the Princess Guy. And I will avenge. And I will
avenge my father's death.
I will eat
KFC
for the rest of my life. And then I was an adult and I started like buying buckets of the shit and bringing it home and eating it. But it just never tasted the same.
No, it doesn't.
And it's not that they changed the ingredients. It's that they changed the chicken. They fucking did something.
Yeah, it's all
it's all
GMO'd or whatever.
GMO'd.
Yeah.
And then it let me know that they're doing something. And I was like, I don't want to put this shit in me either.
Right.
So then.
You got over it.
Yeah, I got over it. I mean, they helped me get over it.
Damn, KFC did it. KFC turned you vegan.
Yeah, KFC.
whoever
makes chicken or raises it or does whatever they do to it.
Well, it's funny because if you travel the world and you eat other meat in other countries, it tastes
like meat again.
Yeah, it tastes so different.
Then it tastes like KFC again.
It does. It oddly does taste like. I think the only kind of meat that I think in America still that I eat that tastes. That still tastes kind of like the cleanest
back
version.
In the day, yeah.
Is red meat when you get high end red meat. So when you get a really nice cut of red meat, you can tell that you're
they don't fuck with it,
right? Yeah, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah, you have to pay for
it. So now the poorest version of meat, the normal version that people are eating, is so fucked with that it's you are right. It is weird. It does taste different.
Yeah.
And we've tried the Beyond Meat and all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. And the Impossible Burger or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And that shit's good as fuck.
That shit is good as fuck, yeah.
It's weird how good it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's creepy. It's kind of creepy. Like, it makes me go like, what the fuck is going on?
It might
not
be
only,
real
not
meat.
Not only does it taste like a little bit sweeter than meat, it has the same texture and feel. It's got like...
Has the redness.
The juiciness to it. It's really odd, man. It just goes to show you that like, your brain can quite easily be tricked.
Mm-hmm.
Into transitioning for into this other world if need be.
If
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like have you ever had what's it called magic fruit from West Africa? Magic fruit.
What's that?
Fuck. It's this little berry.
Oh yeah.
And you let it dissolve on your tongue. You can buy them on Amazon. I think they sell them now. It used to be illegal to get. Now it's totally legal.
Magic fruit.
Mm-hmm. And it changes the chemical composition of your tongue so sour things taste sweet.
Oh yeah,
you have to Google. Yeah, people at home will Google it, but I think it's called Magic Fruit. Magic Fruit has got to be the name of it.
I'm gonna order some right now.
Look at this. Oh, here it is. Yeah, Magic Fruit. So Magic Fruit, Miracle Fruit or Magic Fruit. They're two different but it's called Senespalal. Oh my God, Senespalum dulficium is a plant known for its berry that, when it's eaten, causes sour food subsequently to consume to taste sweet. The effect is due to Miraculin, which is a chemical that coats your tongue.
Oh, right.
But you can order these things online, mm-hmm. and they make them in tablet form. But
that could save marriages.
This shit.
Like if a husband's wife, yeah. or vice versa, is a bad cook.
Bad cook.
And you got to eat their cooking right before the meal. Oh, honey, this tastes good.
What are you taking before we eat dinner? Just a vitamin. Vitamins. Yeah, yeah, it's normal shit.
Normal shit. Your food is great.
Makes your garbage taste palatable. Mm-hmm. But we had one at a party one time, and it was fucking remarkable what it would do. My buddy's mom cut lemons, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm not eating a fucking lemon. I don't like lemons that much, and mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not eating fucking lemon. And she was like, try it. Mm-hmm. So after you put this on your tongue, you don't really physically feel. You can't really physically tell. Mm-hmm. But I took a bite out of it, and I swear to God on my life, it tasted sweet.
The lemon tastes like an orange.
Sweeter than an orange. Oh, it almost tastes like...
I'm going to get that just to try.
It's weird. It's like, that'd it's like be fresh like a mango.
Fun thing to have at
you know
the
how
house.
Fresh mango is really like juicy and sweet and mm-hmm. clean? That's what a lemon would taste like. Oh, like shit. Super clean.
And they're much cheaper than mangoes.
I know.
So you know what? I'm going to get this. And lemons are good for you?
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to start eating lemons with magic fruit.
Solve my overpriced mango problem.
Right. Yeah. Get the magic fruit.
Get the magic fruit.
Magic fruit or a miracle fruit is what I guess they call right. it. But in West Africa, it was used... They would put it on their tongues mm-hmm. to eat stuff that was less savory for mm-hmm. nutrition if they just didn't like the taste of it. Oh, like for kids, dope. They would give it to kids. Mm. And then there was this.
Parents should give that to kids.
They
too,
should
because I seen like this one toddler on the plane. Parents give kids like chips or just whatever, just so they don't cry.
Right.
When
candy
they don't want
and
to
bullshit.
Cry candy, and you should like. I'm like, that's a slippery slope.
Right.
Yeah. This has come from a guy with no kids, but I just feel like
right. Know, they should though.
Yeah, they should. This will solve a lot of issues.
I don't like when somebody says like I don't have kids either. We don't mm-hmm. have kids, but I don't like when someone says you don't know you don't have kids.
You're yeah,
like,
I still know some things.
Right.
Even though I don't know.
That's also. Like
I know. I've never been to prison, but I know it's horrible.
I imagine.
Imagine yeah, yeah. the story you're telling me.
Does shit taste like shit? Probably.
Yeah.
So I don't need to have it to know that things uh-huh. are fucked up. I don't like when somebody does that. How would you know?
How would I know that you shouldn't feed your kid shit from your ass? I don't know.
I'm just taking a wild guess. It's a wild guess. It's a wild guess. I don't. That bothers me, and it bothers mm-hmm. me when somebody says, someone just did this again to me. Mm-hmm. I was singing a song in a store. There was some shit on the radio.
I'm just imagining you sing.
I was singing. I'm not a good fucking singer, too. But I'm like singing it kind of under my breath, mm-hmm. and it was a song from maybe the 60s. Mm-hmm. And this woman's like, it was Motown. Mm-hmm. And this woman was like, how do you know this song? And I said, I'm sorry.
She's black.
How do you, she was too old to tell. I don't know what she was.
She's so old you couldn't tell what color she was.
I don't know what she was. She had worked there mm-hmm. and she was real light skinned though. I couldn't mm-hmm. really, seriously, I couldn't tell. She could have been 50 different kind of things. And she goes, how do you know this song? Mm-hmm. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, you're too young to know this shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you not know things from before your time?
I know, right?
It just annoyed me right. that she was, it's almost like saying like, you're not allowed to like this song.
I think she was trying to like, this pleasantness. I wasn't there.
No, you see, I know what you're trying, I know what you mean.
I wasn't there, fuck it.
There was condescension behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
It was almost like saying like, it's almost like she really said, you don't know this song, instead mm-hmm. of how do you know. It was almost mm-hmm. saying like, you don't know this fucking song. It's like, yeah, I do. I love this song. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not allowed to know. Do you know who Picasso was?
Right.
Why? Were you around?
Who was Picasso?
I don't like when people do that, when they check your, like, I try to be conscious of that when I talk to someone younger than me. Mm-hmm. When I say something and someone younger than me is like, I don't know what that is. Instead mm-hmm. of me going, of course, like you guys don't have that from your generation. It's mm-hmm. I'm more informative now. I'm like, oh yeah, this used to be.
By the way, I like doing that to younger people. It's
you do.
So much
you,
fun.
You like diving on them.
I mean, they're gonna pass me and be ahead of me at one time. So
yeah.
I mean, they could fuck with me on technology. So I'm gonna get them back.
See, that's why I'm scared. I want to get on their team so they don't fuck me up in the long run. That's honest. my fears are gonna be like, you know, he talked shit to us a couple of years ago back when we were. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the approach that
I'm nice to everybody.
Yes, you well. You're nice.
But
nice.
I'm shitty nice.
You're nice to strangers. Mm-hmm. You're more fun and mean fun to people
mean
you know.
Fun. Mean fun to people.
But that's the people you know.
But I also introduce myself to people I expect to keep seeing and try to be. But LA is different. Like in New York, like you shit on somebody, they're your friend for life.
Sure. That's
And when I came to LA, I realized you can't just shit on people. Mm-mm. You have to slowly introduce, it's like baby food into adult food.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I got to baby food them, my fake personality, and then boom, and hit them with the start shitting on them.
Right, right.
And some people are just more sensitive in LA. New York's just tougher.
It's just a culture, right? It's a very odd culture because we haven't really cultivated our own culture in LA. We're all so different from everywhere.
Everybody's from everywhere.
And New York is everyone from everywhere, but when you get to New York, you better fucking curb all your bullshit.
Right.
Because the city makes you kind of turn into something that you have to be to fit in that mold. Otherwise, it'll eat you up.
Yeah.
You can disappear in LA. You could be from Oklahoma and come here and live a quiet life and just do your thing and be fine.
You feel like you're in a sunny version of Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah. You can't do that shit in New York.
Yeah.
It just won't work.
New York comedy audiences did get more sensitive, though.
I was just talking to another comic. There's Mark Norman, who's a great stand-up. He was talking about that. The shift is very obvious, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I went there last year. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, did you physically feel it, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't performed there in a while, so I have no idea. And I've never performed at the Cellar.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is that people say the Cellar has shifted dramatically over the years. It has shifted,
yeah.
And the Comedy Store has gotten even stronger in its approach to being the most open.
Yeah,
that's what's so wild, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because normally, whatever would work at the Store, you could take to the East Coast and kill there.
Right.
And now audience is like, I can't believe you said that.
Well, I mean, what I think's crazy is there used to be this perception of Los Angeles comedy as cheap or fake or hacky or easy or whatever. And New York was this tried and true, like, that's where you can really get out material. Mm-hmm. But now I feel like New York comics are doing just the same material we are, sharp, questionable material. But it's just not getting consumed there because there's this pushback. Yeah, and out here, there's just this open, like, well, fuck it. If it's going to happen, we're going to hear it here.
Yeah, you can go hard here.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm in the place you can go hard.
Me too, because it would scare me if I was over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is also subsequently why.
It would alter my comedy.
Well, yeah, you'd have to. Because a lot of those guys are moving here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are making the shift or to come here more often because they feel like they can just say it here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know who it is. I don't know why.
But I know things change. That's life. But I just never thought that would be a change.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is like something that I never calculated.
Well, especially because we're in the liberal Mecca, right? Like New York is, I think what people, like when people hear LA is this like left coast place, it really is. But they also forget that like surrounding Los Angeles is a lot of different ideas.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't just think like LA people.
Listen, man, I went to a Red Lobster in the Valley a few years ago. It didn't feel like I was in California.
No. Well, it was Red Lobster, to be fair.
Yeah, it was Red Lobster. But it was just like, it's like Canoga Park.
Yeah.
And it just like, oh, you're not. This is
different world. This is different. It is.
Yeah.
And that's only 12 miles from the center of Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Like I was in, we were just in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's funny when people start to get comfortable and they just tell you stuff and you're down to absorb it. And I just was listening to him. But he's like, yeah, you do TV? And I was like, yeah, I do TV sometimes. And
I don't like this accent already.
From this guy, what's coming.
This guy. Yeah, yeah.
He goes, we don't watch TV no more. I was like, why not? What do you don't like, do nothing on for you? He goes, yeah, you know, my wife used to watch all these shows, you know, like, you know, this network HGTV. I said, yeah, Home and Garden TV. He goes, yeah. What it really stands for is homo godless television. I was like, oh shit.
So you watch Fox? He watches Fox News. Yeah. Though, well, sure. No.
He says he doesn't. He goes. I said. Well, what do you? What do you like? And he goes, there hasn't been a good show on TV since King of Queens. That's what he said.
Hilarious.
Yeah. He loved King of Queens. That was his go-to. But he was so adamant about it. He kept plugging the home. He said the joke three times. By the way. Uh-huh. He goes, yeah, homo godless TV.
He wrote that.
He loved it, yeah.
Or somebody, a friend.
He got a text. Yeah. He got a text and he was like, dude, I'm saying that. That's so funny, bro. But he kept saying it to me over and over. And it's funny when someone gets comfortable because he was like, you know, because my material, when I say it, I'm definitely not aligned with like a very liberal point of view, even though I ironically am, or a conservative point of view. I make fun of a lot of sides.
Yeah.
And I go hard on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a little bit mean when I approach a subject when I should be more sensitive about it, but I like it. And I think he heard it as like,
Yeah.
You're one of me.
Yeah, you're... Yeah,
I can tell
yeah.
you this joke. I can exactly. tell you my favorite bit.
Which I actually kind of like because I hear it on both sides. Mm-hmm. I hear like very left-leaning people who like are like, you think just like me.
Right.
And I'm like, that's funny because I don't find myself to be a super hard left-leaning person.
Right.
I definitely don't find myself to be a hard right-leaning person either, but...
I don't trust either side.
Yeah, why would you? I think yeah. most comics are like that now.
Yeah.
Most comics you talk to, they're like... Unless you're like Nick DiPaolo or
right.
one of these guys who's like outright, that's what I do.
Yeah. I used to listen to NPR a lot in the car. And it's like, you're just doing the same thing that the Fox News people are doing
right.
to their crowd. And it's like, it's not this cut and dry. And it's, and especially since Trump is in office, like I didn't like it when everybody shit on Obama.
Right.
From the other side.
So right.
I'm not... shitting on Trump does not help.
No, it's not helping
it just,
shit.
It's just... It's strengthening him. So it's like... the same... Like, it was a... I didn't like the petty tactic of attacking Obama that the right was doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to enjoy the petty tactic of attacking Trump either. I just don't like pettiness.
Yeah, it's cheap.
It's like go for the real... Give me a real story about... some real shit, and let's be adults about this.
Right.
Yeah.
I got in a little bit of like my conscious clap back myself of like, I was saying this joke about Trump, and I was like, I say like Trump is going to win again, and audiences get mad, and I said I'm not voting him in. I'm just letting you know the truth of what right. statistics are. I said, this country has an extremely difficult time letting someone only do one term. It's right. it's very rare.
Right.
Like statistically.
You got to be George Bush.
Bush, that's right. You got to be yeah. George Bush. Yeah. I mean really. I mean it's been a long time. Prior to him was
he's alive still.
Who?
Carter.
Carter. Yeah, yeah Carter. Yeah. That's right. Well, that was pretty fucking obvious. Yeah. But I think like in the long run of this country, I said most presidents don't serve one term.
Mm-hmm.
And I said unless somebody kills him, you know. And then people got mad. But
that's
I was
the
like,
last thing I would want.
I know, because then Pence gets in there and shit.
It'd be
and then it's
a
all
civil
funny.
War.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
Yeah, so
yeah it'd
I
be crazy.
Don't want that shit. Yeah.
No, but I'm like, I'm making such an obvious joke about mm-hmm. like president about assassination uh-huh. of presidents, and uh-huh. some dude afterwards, man, got so mad. He's like, "The way you're talking is telling people that they should go do something to Trump." I said, "Dude, it's a fact. I'm making a fucking
facts
joke, and it's a fact.
Facts.
Yeah, it's a fact, and it's a joke.
Yeah,
I'm making a joke about a fact. What do you mm-hmm. want me like?
Yeah.
So I still feel that like I like to shit on all those things,
mm-hmm.
but you do still feel that like politics are like the one thing now.
That's a funny joke, though.
Where people still kind of thank you. Where people still get like." A little sensitive. You could say anything else,
mm-hmm.
and they'll absorb it and take it for what it's worth, or they'll mm-hmm. go, oh, they don't like it. But when someone is adamant about their politics, man, they get fucking. They still get upset.
Yeah, yeah.
They still get upset.
It's like it's harder than the birds and the bees talk.
Right.
Politics.
It is.
Yeah. Like so I did New Negroes. Right. I did 12 minutes. Comedy Central puts the whole 12 minute set. Online.
Oh, it's not edited. Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. It's not online. It's not edited.
Yeah, New Negroes. Not my special.
Don't. No, but the show, New Negroes on TV, when it airs, it is edited, right?
It is edited. But okay. My set, they put the whole set on there.
Okay.
So then what happened? So there's one joke in there about, I don't even want to tell. So I'll tell the joke. The joke is like, it's a 12-minute set. I got one joke about how everybody's protesting Trump. And there's going to be so many marches that by the time he's done being president, the entire country is going to be in great shape. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna protest ourselves into fitness, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then, me and you just had a conversation earlier about we don't take part in marches; we watch.
Yeah, I watch.
And stay on the sideline, like hey. So then, Comedy Central, out of the whole 12-minute set, I don't know. I'm not saying Comedy Central. Whoever. Is in that department. They said, Ian, they posted the thing as clickbait going, Ian gets in shape protesting Trump. So then all these people with Confederate flags, without even really listening to the bit or the whole set, which
right.
is nothing about Trump, it's about other shit,
right.
start like
coming
attacking
at
me.
Of course.
And I told him, I called him up, I said, hey, you got to change the title of this clip because it's a one bit about Trump that even people who are pro-Trump when they've heard me do it in the clubs laughed because it's just like...
It's just funny.
It's just a funny joke.
It's a funny fucking
it's
joke.
It's a funny commentary, right? And you got people coming at me and I don't march.
Right. It should be called Ian Edwards Does Not March.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be a funny version
exactly.
of the clip.
Exactly. Like, I'm the only person that's going to... Me and you are going to be the only people that are going to get out of shape during this presidency.
From watching more, yeah. from watching the bullshit
from
the sidelines.
From watching people march, yeah.
Did they change it?
Yeah, they changed it.
They've been good about it.
Yeah.
They've been good about learning that it's like, the comics have to be one the ones that have the final say in all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's our shit.
Yeah, you can't change the narrative of what I'm saying. It's like, you have to think about how that might affect me.
Right.
Like, I got to go places. I don't want people attacking me. I want to be attacked for when I deserve to be attacked.
Right. Yeah, attack me when I know it's coming. Yeah. Don't blindside me with something that I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's I talked about this very recently. Like doing TV for me or doing performances on, you know, like acting wise, mm-hmm. it's gotten harder for me to swallow the pill because I have no control. You know, the more stuff I do, the more it's like, well, they edited you differently than what you delivered.
Yeah.
And the beauty of stand up, and that's the reason that I've always been a stand up and I love it the most and I'll never quit it, but I might quit acting at some point is because you lose control.
Right.
I really don't like not having any control over the final product unless it's mine.
Right. I mean, if I like the project just for me, I like the project and then I get a partner, I'll do it and I'll do it for that. And it, you know, whatever helps people know who I am and it makes them come out to see my stand up, I'll do something like that. Like, I had an audition this morning. It's the first time I've had an audition in a while.
What was it for?
It's for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, it's the fucking, that's huge. It's a Marvel show, right?
Yeah, Marvel show, yeah.
Yeah, that's very big.
Yeah.
They've been on for like 7 years.
6 years, yeah. Yeah. Probably going into 7 years.
That's a heavy show. They get a lot. I mean, yeah, if it's going to help you progress in your career and so more people see you.
And that's like a fantasy thing, so it doesn't even matter. But there's auditions I did turn down because then, like when... What's the name of this show? Jermaine Fowler was on that show. Koechner was on that show.
Superior Donuts.
So they had a black cop. He's like a goofball. I was like, if I book this role and I'm like this corny black dude and the people I want to come see me do stand-up, because sometimes people can't separate the character on TV.
Most times they cannot.
So it's like, this would hurt me.
Right.
And stand-up is my main... thing that I want to do, so I can't have people perceive me to be this person. Nobody would want to come see me at the fucking comedy club,
right? Or when they do, they're like mad that you're not the guy that they thought
exactly.
you were gonna be.
So then I was like, fuck that shit.
Well, that's that. I guess that's what I mean. Like you see somebody like Bob Saget, who was this America's Dad, and then he talks about fucking the Olsen twins when you go see him live, and people are shocked and they're like, it's like because that guy wasn't that guy when he did that show.
Yeah, he was not.
And I don't want to be. I just it's hard for me lately to like. Except the fact, the past couple of years, like some things I've involved myself in, is what I put out and what's come out of it has been two different things.
Right.
And it bothered me a little bit because you can't do that with stand-up. Nobody can fuck up what you delivered on that stage of your special. Mm-hmm. You put it out there.
Right.
They can't edit that up to be different.
Right.
You know, you're the one that picks the final product.
Right.
So that's what I love about stand-up is it'll never be compromised.
It depends on the special though, because like if you do like those, I don't know what happens during those Comedy Central half hours.
Well, that's
or something
that's,
like so. I'm glad that I did this with comics, and we like pretty much got everything. There's some things we didn't get, like you know. But for the most part,
For the most part, it's your product. It's hard to manipulate what you've put out there because you don't leave a lot of space for it to be changed.
Yeah, exactly.
When you film shit, there's so much room for things to be manipulated. Mm-hmm. So that's my biggest fear. Is like I don't ever want to put stuff out that's like. Well, I didn't want it to look like that.
Right.
You know, and you don't have control when it's not your project.
Mm-hmm.
And stand-up will always be your project. So that's why I like your special, the TED version of this.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be really hard for them to muck that up and then be able to put it out without your permission.
Right.
I mean, that's the beauty of doing that.
Yeah.
It was your vision. It was your way.
Right.
So, you know, for now, it's like the only thing you can do is put out, if you want to do TV or film, is try to be a part of it. Is the goal is like, well, I want to make it because then I get to dictate what I look like.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the beauty because lately, the stand-ups won my heart so much more. Some of the stuff I've done film and TV-wise, you know, it's just a few things the last couple of years. And I was like, I fucking hate that shit. I look dumb in that shit. You look dumb and you feel, and you just don't want that to reflect when somebody comes to see you live.
Right.
You know, or if they don't because of that.
Right.
If they're like, I thought he was funny, but that thing I saw him do, I hated him. Right.
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to do Superior Donuts as a
dumb cop.
Because there was a line in the thing where the white, one of the white characters tells a black cop, shit, I'm blacker than you. And I was like, I'm not playing some guy that some white person can tell me they're blacker than me.
I'm blacker than you.
Because actually I've been told that by white people before, you know, just in real life. And I'm like, what are you saying to me? Like, could you get shot?
I'm blacker than you.
Can you be shot by a cop?
By the way, that's the name of my next special is going to be called I'm Blacker Than,
I'm blacker
you.
Than you.
I'm Hilarious. Blacker than you. I'm just going to go for it. Actually, my next special is going to be clickbait. It's going to be called Young, Blind, Gay, Black Girl.
Homogenous.
Homogenous. Yeah, homogenous. We'll see if they like it.
Homogenous redhead. Homogenous whiskey.
Homogenous whiskey.
Yeah, yeah.
Ginger. Homogenous ginger. That's
homogenous ginger, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, watch Ian's special. It comes out Comedy Central on the 12th/13th. Record that bitch. Do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, dude, lock that shit. Do something.
Lock it the fuck up and watch. What's the name of it, by the way?
Ian Talk.
Ian Talk.
Yeah.
Instead of Ted. Because Ted's a bitch.
Yeah.
What does Ted stand for? Am I ignorant? Should I know that?
I don't know either.
All right, good.
I spoofed the shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't fucking know.
I didn't study.
At first, I thought it was a name, and then I was like, no, it must be an acronym, right? So, yeah. Look, and I'm gonna look it up because someone's.
Yeah, and I didn't even flinch to. Right. I spoofed it. I didn't even flinch to try to find out. Now would be a good time to know.
Now, all right. So TED Conference is. What does TED stand for? What does TED Talk? There's got to be people at home that are like, how do you not know that?
Yeah, easy. There's a lot of shit I don't know.
Well,
my mind is occupied with other shit.
Here it is. It's technology, entertainment, and design.
My special was definitely about none of that shit.
What would be the acronym for Ian? Let's see if we can figure out what Ian stands for. Could Ian stand for something? What? I ain't new.
I ain't nude.
That's in the Me Too movement. It's just like, hey man, I ain't nude. It's like, all right, we'll check it out. We'll take a watch.
Yeah.
So watch on the 12th to see where Ian's going to be live. Where you, is it, what IanEdwardsComedy.com?
IanEdwardsComedian.com.
IanEdwardsComedian.com.
Or go to Instagram.
Yeah.
At IanEdwardsComic.
Ian Edwards Comic, IanEdwardsComedian.com. We'll put all that shit in the description. Watch his fucking special. It's incredible. Also, you have albums out that people can still find on Spotify and iTunes and all that
100%
shit.
100%
half-assed. Which is Conan production, right? Yep. So listen to that shit. Watch this shit. Spread the love and the word. And we'll see you next week. Peace.
Whisk. You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.